Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, it's always a blessing just being in church. And so thank the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 2, Ruth in chapter 2 on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Ruth. And as you read the book of Ruth, you might think that it should be called the book of Naomi. We've mentioned that. But yet, God has called it the book of Ruth. And so Ruth is the main character. And we need to read the book of Ruth through the life of Ruth and seeing just what God has there for us and the principles that we've been able to study and learn from. I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. Last week, we found Ruth gleaning after the reapers in the harvest. And as God had led to that, we studied the idea of the providence, the divine providence of God. And Boaz comes to the field just in the right time. It's not a coincidence. It was not luck. It was the providence of a sovereign God. And God had been silently leading and preparing both Ruth and Boaz for his future plans. That's something that is just the DNA of God. That is how God works. Can I tell you that every day, God is leading and preparing all those whom He'll use, and He is leading and preparing all of those who He will help. And every day, things happen. And every day, God controls the circumstances of life. Every day, God is working through some to be used of God, and some are being prepared to be helped by God. And that's a blessing to understand that. I love this statement that I made last week, and when we get on the path of obedience, that's the key. When we get on the path of obedience, divine providence goes before us and with us. Our part in everything, whether it is seeking the help that God has for us, or whether it is seeking to be used of God, to be a blessing, to be a help, obedience, that's the main thing. And so divine providence goes before us and with us as we stay on the path of obedience. Tonight we're looking at Ruth chapter 2. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 8 down to verse 12. And now Boaz actually speaks to Ruth. And that's what we're looking at here tonight. Ruth chapter 2. All right, I can just sense a tiredness tonight. Amen. And I don't know if finally it sunk in that summer is behind us and we have some bad weather to ahead of us more than likely, or it's just been a tough week. Whatever it's been, we're in church tonight. Praise the Lord for health to be here. Amen. There's several that would love to be here that are just not healthy enough to be here tonight. And sound mind. Amen. I think most of us are of sound mind tonight. And I believe that God has a message for us. And so we just need to make sure that we're plugged into what God has for us. So get rid of the tiredness and get rid of all the different negatives, whatever they might be. And let's just seek the Lord's will for our lives here tonight. Okay? Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be in church. And I just pray tonight, God, that you would help each one here just to sense your presence. And I pray, God, that each one here would open up a heart and a mind to receive what you have for them. Pray that you would just empower the teaching and the preaching of your word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Boaz, at this particular point, once he heard who this Ruth was, knowing that she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, Boaz knew that he was a kinsman of Naomi and Elimelech. He knew of his whatever they were, possibly aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever it was. Boaz knew that he would be a kinsman to Ruth. Now, Ruth is not yet aware of it. As we look here in the passage we just read tonight, Ruth is not aware of who Boaz is. She was just thankful that sheepers in that field. God directed her to the field of Boaz. God was leading and guiding Boaz as well as he was leading and guiding Ruth, for both of them had a desire for God's will to be done in their lives. We find that Boaz was a godly man as he spoke to his servants and they returned the greetings. And we know that Ruth was a godly woman and that she left everything that she knew, their past religion, her past family, her parents, all the gods of the Moabites, she left it all to turn to the God of Israel because she believed in her heart that the God of Israel was the one true God. And she followed Naomi back to Israel, knowing that Naomi was her link to understanding more about the ways of the God of Israel. And so that's where we're at here with Ruth and Boaz. So Boaz now is aware of Ruth being, him being a kinsman to Ruth. And so we find here that he addresses Ruth. Now he addresses her, if you would, you could take this in a bad way. Because as he addresses Ruth, he first of all tells her what to do. Now, I don't know, most women don't like to be told what to do by a stranger. They don't like to be told what to do by their husbands, let alone a stranger, okay? And so, but we find that's exactly how he addresses her to start with, that we find that he tells her what she can and can't do. How many would put up with that? Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." No, you're not permitted to go anywhere else. You stay right here. Don't go to another field. That's what he tells her. "Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." She didn't ask to become one of his maidens. She didn't know what his motive was. He said, "You can't go anywhere else. I want you to just stay with my maidens. Stay here. Neither go from hence to abide here, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them." That's what he tells her. Now, we understand that he was doing it for her benefit. Outside of God giving her comfort, making her aware that this is somebody that God has brought into her life. I don't know that she would have responded the way that she did. But he says to her, she could not go to another field, and that she would not eye any place else. She would not even look at another field. But she would stay there and be part of his maidens. Now, we find here that Boaz knew that she could not gather as much and glean as much and be rewarded as much as what he was going to do for her. He knew that. He knew what he could do for her. Can I tell you that Jesus, our Redeemer, and that's what it is. This is a picture of that. Boaz was Ruth's Redeemer, as Christ is our Redeemer. Jesus, as our Redeemer, also knows what he will do for us. And sometimes we look at the Bible and the commandments of God, and so many people think, well, why is he limiting me? Why is God telling me what I can and cannot do? Why would I want to be controlled? John chapter 14, again, and Naomi has not responded yet. And the first time that she meets Boaz, Boaz starts telling her what she can and can't do, should and shouldn't do. Now, if you look at John chapter 14, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, was aware of some things that the disciples might not have been aware of if he did not reveal it to them. He knows what he will do for us, and no one else can do what only Jesus will do for us. In John chapter 14, he says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And what Jesus says right here reveals something that every born-again believer needs to understand. Every lost person needs to understand when they're thinking about looking to Jesus Christ. I am the way. Listen, there's no other way. He knows that he was the only way. The truth. Christ knows that he held the eternal truths of a creator God. The world doesn't believe that. The lost world would not accept that. That's why they would not accept the commandments of God. Believers need to understand that, and believers, as you understand that, because you understand who he is, we ought to understand and receive whatever commandments he gives us. Because of who he is and what he wants to do for us. He wants to prepare a place in heaven for us. He sacrificed himself on Calvary's cross so that we could be redeemed. Our Redeemer sacrificed so that we could be redeemed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That eternal life. There is no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, he would command his disciples when they would come to him. He would tell them to leave father and mother, follow me. How could you tell me to leave mom and dad? And how can you tell me to leave my job? And how can you tell me to do this and that? You expect me just to follow you and do what you say? Yeah, well, he would never give us a command that he didn't know was best for us. Boaz instructs or commands Ruth in verse 8 and 9, and his commandments and how he instructs her, he knew that would be what would be best for her. He knew what he could and would do for her if she would be willing. If she would just be willing. to go not. That's what he says. Go not to glean in another field. Once you found Jesus Christ, stop looking for another Savior. Once you found the doctrines that he has established, once you found the Bible that he has preserved for us, stop looking for another Bible. Stop looking for something better. There is nothing better. When God plants you in a church, then stop looking for another church. I don't want to stay in this church because they really do not do what I want to do. And they're telling me not to do certain things, and they're trying to instruct me in what I should do and how a Christian ought to live. And stop looking for a different field. Once God has directed you to the field, to the church, to the Savior, to the Bible, hold tight to it. Don't let it go. And stop looking for something better. There is nothing better than a redeemer. It's going to redeem you, bring you into the presence of an almighty creator God. Yeah. She could have said, who are you? I'll go where I want to go. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that refuse to receive Jesus Christ because they don't want to be filled with thou shalt and thou shalt not. They think it's a hindrance. If they only knew it was the best thing you could ever do. She believed Boaz because she had been led by the Spirit of God to go to that field, and she had prayed and sought God's will in every area of her life. She's a new believer. She is a young believer. She had just learning about the ways of God in Israel, and she knew that God would take care of those. He had provisions for those poor and widows and needy, and the provisions was to go into the fields and glean after the reapers. God had instructed them to allow others to come and glean after the reapers. And she knew that's what she was to do, and she just sought out to do it. She was being led by the Spirit of God, and now she believes that Boaz, she listened, and she believed that Boaz had her best interest in mind. See, what might sound like a negative could, and when it comes to God, is the greatest blessing. Because God's commands are for our protection from evil. God's commands and his instructions is how we can draw close to God and receive what God has for us. Out of the Ten Commandments, 8 out of the 10 would be considered, if you will, by most, the world especially, the negative commandments. Two would be more of a positive and what you should do and not what you should not do. The two would be the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth is honor thy father and mother. The other eight are what is looked to as a negative command. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. You can't have multiple gods. Some would look at that as a negative. You see, the Moabites would have looked at that as a negative. They would have loved to have taken the God of Israel and added that to the gods of Baal and all the other gods that they served and worshiped. There's a lot of religions out there that want to just take the Jesus Christ and add him to all their other gods. But God says, that's not what's best for you. Because there are no other true gods. There's only one. And you're not to have any other gods but me. That's the best way to live. Yeah. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not. Well, I would rather have something that I can visualize and see as a statue or something I can bow down to and look at that as my God. Listen to me. God knows that he's more than just a statue. I don't know about you, but I would rather have to kiss my wife than to kiss a picture of my wife. Now, if she's not around and I don't have access to her, then yeah, I'm going to enjoy having a picture of her. But when she's available, listen to me, I'd much rather kiss her than a picture. And when you stop and think about it, it's much better to be able to go directly to an Almighty God and worship Him and communicate with Him than going to some kind of an idol that is supposed to represent God. It's not how God works. So thou shalt not. A negative command, but a positive result. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's a good thing. Our society needs to learn from that. Because Satan has totally blinded people to what they're doing when they're using the name of the Lord in vain. And sometimes even Christians do that. And Satan has you using God's name in vain, you don't even realize it because it's accepted in society. Yeah. Thou shalt not, it's the best thing for us. Thou shalt not kill. A negative? Talking about murder. Not talking about justice. It's talking about murder. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A negative, but it's a positive. Thou shalt not steal. A negative, but it's a positive. It's the best thing for us. It's coming from a God who cares. Coming from a God who knows what's best for us. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbors. Lies destroy so much, so many reputations, friendships, relationships. You're hindered by not being able to lie? Is that a hindrance? No, it's a help. Might change some people if they would just hold to that negative. Yeah. Thou shalt not covet. 8 out of 10 are thou shalt nots. The world says, I don't want to be placed under a God who is negative. You don't know exactly all that God will do for you. So she could have said, I'll go wherever I want to go. You can't control me. You can't tell me what to do. But she was aware of God leading in her life. And she realized that He had her best interest at heart. Then Boaz reveals promises of the blessings connected to the obedience. Can I tell you, God does that as well? The blessings connected to the obedience. He says, have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? Protection from the young men's advances. Possibly even rape. She's a Moabite. They would not have honored her as they would have another Jewish woman. And in the fields and the type of situation, she's a poor, who would care? What laws would come against us? She's a Moabitess. But He says, I want you here and I want you to do what I tell you to do because I want to protect you. That's our Redeemer. You might not understand it, He says, but what the example that I've given to you and what I've commanded you to do is there so I might protect you from the ones who want to destroy you, who want to hinder you, our main adversary who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God says, if you do what I tell you to do, if you just follow my instructions, it is protection. I'm not trying to hinder you. Trying to help you. But the human nature, you don't want to be told what to do. Well, we need to get rid of that human nature. We need to surrender our wills to the Spirit of God. Listen and look to obey what God says to do, our Redeemer. Yeah. He also says, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Not only will they not harm you, they're going to fetch you water. Yeah. He says it's going to supply, there's going to be a supply of fresh water for you if you stay here. If you stay in my field, if you glean from my reapers, if you follow with my maidens, I can protect you. If you stay here and do what I tell you to do, I will provide for you. What a Redeemer. That's Christ. That's who he is symbolically identifying with for us today. That's our Redeemer. Don't ever look to anything that Jesus has commanded us to do as something that will hinder us. It is there to protect us and is there to supply for our every need. And I love Ruth's response because it's the right response to our Redeemer. And most of us, when you got saved, this is how you responded. When you realize who you really were, when the truth of our sin nature and the wages of our sin, what we deserved, eternal damnation, and we were on our way to a devil's hell, you have to come to that realization before you can ever receive the Redeemer. You have to understand being lost. You have to understand about your own sin and what you deserve. But when we understand that, it helps us to have a greater appreciation for our Redeemer. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face, not because of the commandments, but because of what he was, why he gave her these commandments and the blessings that would ensue them. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace? Underline grace. In thine eyes. That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a, underline that, stranger. Yeah. She was somewhat overwhelmed and feeling unworthy. Unworthy of his grace. Grace is unmerited, the unmerited favor of God. You will not have his grace if you feel like you deserve it. Can't have it. If you're going to receive the grace of God, and you've got to have the grace first, the love and kindness of God that leads you to your faith to believe and be saved. You can't have the grace of God if you think that God owes you something. Ruth did not believe that Boaz owed her anything. She did not think herself to be needing or wanting or deserving all things. She didn't do that. She humbled herself. She was grateful for to be able to glean. And now he's telling her that he's going to do all of this for her. She still has not connected that he's going to be her Redeemer. Okay? She still does not understand everything about him. And she understands that he's telling her he's going to provide for her. He's going to protect her. He didn't tell her he's going to marry her. Yeah. Unmerited favor of God. The grace of God. Well, when you learn about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. Yeah. And you see yourself, see His grace, and then you see yourself as a stranger. No right as a Moabite in Israel. That's her stranger. She had no rights being a Moabite living in the land of Israel, outside of God. Luke chapter 5, look there with me. Luke chapter 5. What a blessing. The Bible records when Peter finally realized this. Peter the fisherman, and Jesus came to use his boat. He didn't want to go back out, but he obeyed, took the boat back out, let the nets down. God filled his nets with fish. And then he realized who he was. And he realized at that point that Jesus Christ had to be the Messiah. No doubt in his mind. And when verse 8, and chapter Luke chapter 5 verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he saw the miracle. He knew what Jesus had commanded. He knew what Jesus had just did for him. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, did he really want Jesus to leave him? No. He's showing humility. He's doing the very same thing that Ruth does in the presence of Boaz. I'm unworthy. I'm so thankful that you notice me. I'm so thankful that you love me. I'm so thankful that unmerited favor, you have shown unmerited favor to such a person like me. Undeserving. Yeah. If you've not gotten there yet, I don't know that you can be saved, and you surely cannot be enjoying your relationship with God. Because the one thing that will separate you is pride. He resists the pride. Yeah. Well, Boaz, go back, and we're getting ready to close here, coming to the end of it here. I'm a stranger. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? That's how we look to Christ. And Boaz answered, and he said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." See, Boaz reassures her that it was due to her decisions. Her decisions had made all this possible. When she sought after the God of Israel, she realized what she would have to turn away from. It was her faith and trust in God that caused her to say, "I've sacrificed nothing." When I look to who God is and I look to what I have to benefit from being His servant, I've sacrificed nothing, even though I might have had to leave the world. Might have had to turn away from mom and dad. I might have to be even persecuted by the people here, there. She made the decision to leave a past life and anything connected to it to seek after the God of Israel. Boaz was just telling her, it's because of the decisions you made to be the person that you are and to turn away from the past and to leave your country, to leave your family and to choose Israel. Verse 12, because of this, the Lord recompensed thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. He wasn't taking credit for it. He's pointing her to God. God has prepared me. God has led me to be the one to redeem you. God has prepared me. God has been preparing me and leading me my whole life to be able to come to this place. And I can help you and I can protect you and I will. In his own mind, he's thinking, I'm going to redeem her. I can be your redeemer because you've chosen God. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come. And this is key, to trust. Her faith and trust in God led her to the full reward. You see that? The full reward. What is that? It's the gift that God offers to everyone. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God wants to give us, but you have to turn to Him. Making the right decisions. First of all, there's something better than this world. There's something better than these gods. And I have a chance to seek after it. And the decisions she made brought her to the place of a redeemer. I say this often. I think of missions. People all around the world, God is aware of every human soul. They're not aware of God, but God's aware of every human soul. He gave life to everyone. And if every soul, no matter where that soul be around this world, if they take advantage, they either will never reach that age of accountability, but when they reach that age of accountability, if they will take advantage of whatever God has revealed to them, first of all, nature and others, and they will eventually, through right decisions, be led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God's preparing, and He's leading those that will go into all the world. He is preparing and He is leading those to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us, if you're saved, God is preparing and leading you to be a witness. And there's some Ruths out there, not been raised in a Christian home. There's some Ruths all around us that don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the blessings that God can give. All they've heard is all the negatives. You can't do this, you can't do that. They don't understand. The negatives are the greatest positives you'll ever receive. Oh, how we need to be the witness and be used. God's blessings are available to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall receive a full reward, shall receive everlasting life. What a blessing. A redeemer, Boaz, finally speaking to Ruth. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. She could have been turned away from Boaz if she had just focused on the negatives. If she had focused on, what do you mean telling me I can't do this and I can't do that? But she was seeking something greater. She was seeking God and His provisions and His blessings. Yeah. Not going to have a musical invitation, but there's always an opportunity to make a decision. If God spoke to you tonight and there's something in your heart and life that you need to make a decision over, right now is the time to do it, whether in your pew or come to this altar. Anyone else? Father, we bow before You tonight. Thank You, Lord God, for Ruth and the book of Ruth, and even tonight as we look at this and her kinsman redeemer addresses her. She is yielded to obeying his voice, and what blessing she will eventually receive from that, even becoming the wife of Boaz. Pray that you just continue to bless our study. Help us to apply these things to our lives. Be with us as we leave. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.